Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Well, thank you. Thank you, everyone, for your warm welcome. And thank you, Pastor Kevin, for such an introduction. Wow, that was good. Well, when you hear stories like the story of Daniel, you wonder whether it's real. But I'm here to let you know that it is real. It is real because I have seen it. It's real because I've been part of it. It's real because I've experienced it. By the way, I was one of those kids that one day dropped out of school. Way back in 1991, I dropped out of school in grade 6. So I didn't go to school in 91, 92. In 93, my pastor found his way to America, to this country, for this nation in the area of Texas, all right? And when he got there, he found me a sponsor. And with this sponsor, I was able to go back to school. With this sponsor, through the sponsorship, I got tuition, like school fees and books and a uniform, and I was back in class. And that took me up to 1995 when my sponsor could not be able to sponsor me anymore. I did not drop out of school anymore because I chose to live a life of faith, of trusting God and believing Him that the God who started a work in me, He will bring it to accomplishment. I said that to say that our sponsorship works. It works. And if you're here and you sponsor a child, thank you very much for sponsoring children. And if you have not sponsored any, it is an opportunity for you to sponsor a baby. We'll be at the table there. There are some children who need our help to be able to go to school. So child sponsorship, I have experienced it in my house, in my life, and it works. It works. Well, this morning, I am real happy and honored to stand on this platform to bring God's word. To bring God's unchanging word in a changing world, but still changes lives of people. And I believe the word of God is a double-edged sword. It's a fire. It's a hammer. It burns and it changes what is within us. So my prayer today that you and me will be transformed through the preaching of God's word. And so today I want to preach about living a life of faith. I know here in America, you guys have learned to live a life where you have almost whatever you want. You want to go to a place, you have a car. Okay? It's even it's not a stick, so it's just automatic. It just goes. And actually, I heard that there are some cars you guys are testing out. You send your car, and it goes to a Fred Meyer. It comes back. You send your car to go to the airport, and it comes back. You've learned to live that kind of a life. But let me tell you, all in all, there comes moments in life where you need to live by faith. There are moments that come when you don't know what tomorrow holds. There are moments that come and you don't know whether you go through throughout a night. Those moments, you need faith. And so this morning, I want to share with you about this kind of faith that cannot be shaken. Even when you go through the fire, you stand still. Even when you go through luck, you stick on God and say, God will show up for me. And actually, while I'm preaching, I want to hear from you because, you know, English is not my mother tongue. It's not my uncle's tongue. It's not my neighbor's tongue. So it is this language that I'm learning. So when you talk back, when I say something and you say amen or something, I get to understand, I got here that you are following. Are you guys following me? Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. 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 Actually, in Africa, you always start a sermon by hallelujah, amen, hallelujah, amen. So I'm glad that you guys are responding. So today, I want us to talk about faith. And you all know that we have a God who is unshakable. And this God who is unshakable will give you a faith that is unshakable. And together with God, we can shake the world. By the way, there is a story that is told. I don't know whether you've heard about this story. Once upon a time, a lion, an elephant, was crossing a bridge. Okay? Crossing a bridge. And there was a little insect. I even don't know its name in English. I know its name in Kenya, Rwanda. A very little insect. So this insect jumped and stepped on the elephant. And so they crossed the bridge. And as they were crossing the bridge shook. The bridge was almost breaking. And when they got to the other side, the little insect said, "We shook the bridge. We shook the bridge." Today I want to let you know, if you are a man and a woman of faith, together with Jesus, you can shake the bridge. Together with Jesus, we can check our communities. Now, I never shared this story. It has just come up. It seems God has something to communicate to all of us. Together with Jesus, we shake the bridges. Together with Jesus, we light out our world. Together with Jesus, our families get to hear and get to know that there is a God who is not dead. Our God is not dead. And our God is not in a box. Our God is not in a system. Our God cannot be contained in one place. He is far above and beyond all. Give him praise if you believe it. Hallelujah. Come on, give him praise if you believe it. And before we go any further, I want us to read a scripture. Scripture, yeah. The scripture here, and this scripture tells us about this God who is amazing, and God who gives us faith and gave Abraham a kind of faith that cannot be shaken. All right? Okay, Genesis chapter 22, from verse 1, we read of a story. This story is very common, but it has uncommon truth. It is a story that is different. It's a story that is familiar. But when you read it, you find faith in a man who moved by faith, who lived by faith, who walked by faith, who obeyed even when it seemed illogical. He saw that God would do something out of it. The Bible says sometime later, God tested Abraham. The man I'm talking about today is Abraham. And he said to him, "Abraham, here I am," he replied. Then God said, "Take your son." "Oh, my son? Which son? Ishmael? Whom should I take?" No, wait a minute. "Your only son, Isaac, whom you love. And go to the region of Moriah and sacrifice him there." "Oh, sacrifice him? How am I going to sacrifice him?" Whenever I'm reading this, these questions come. How am I going to sacrifice him? Is he just dedicating him to the Lord? Is he just anointing him and set him forth for great things? No. You go sacrifice him as a burnt offering. On the mountain, I'll tell you. Friends, when I hear on the mountain, I will show you. I see faith in that statement. You don't know where you're going. You don't know how it's going to happen. But there is a mountain that I will show you. Early the next morning, Abraham got up, saddled his donkey. He never woke up his wife. He never even said a word to his wife. Very early in the morning. And he just took the baby. Maybe the wife would ask, "Whoa, come on, honey, where are you going?" And say, "Oh, I'm going to the mountain." Why are you taking the baby? So very early in the morning without consulting, he got the baby. He got the baby boy whom they all loved. And you remember how they got the baby? It was by faith. Why? Because Abraham was old. 90, 100 years. Remember, Sarah was well advanced in years. The Bible says her womb was as good as dead. But even when things are dead, by faith they come to life. Where there is no blood, by faith blood flows. Where there is no way, by faith the Lord makes a way where there is no way. I'm telling you, it is a joy to live by faith. The Bible says we live by faith, not by sight. And that without faith, it is impossible to believe God. They woke up very early in the morning and got the sun, and they headed to the mountain the Lord will show them. Okay? So he took with him two of his servants and his Isaac, his one and only Isaac. He took with him two of his servants, okay? And when he had cut enough wood, oh my goodness, for the burnt offering, he was serious. The guy was chopping wood to burn his own and only son. When he had cut all the wood and for the burnt offering and set out the place the Lord told him about, Abraham, on that third day, he looked up and he looked up and he saw in the forest, in the thicket up there. And the Bible says, he said to his servants, "Stay here with the donkey while I go with the boy. We will go where? We will go over there. We will go over there. We will worship and then we will come back." Underline that for me. We will worship. Remember, he has prepared the wood and he's ready to burn the baby, sacrifice him. But he's saying we will go and we will come back. There are some journeys we get to. There are some places we go to. And for sure, I don't know whether you will come back. But this is what you say. We will go and we will come back. It is not that I will go and come back. It's not that me and the boy, we are going, but I will come back. The boy is going to be sacrificed. He believed that God can do a miracle. Beloved, friends, seated here this morning, I want to let you know that we serve a miracle-working God. We serve a miracle-working God. Our God is the Alpha, and our God is the Omega. Our God is able. Our God does it. So, the Bible says, we will go and we will come back. We will go and we will come back. We will go and we will come back. Abraham took all this and they went. But as they were going, the boy asked, "Father, I see the wood. I see you have a knife. But where is the lamb to sacrifice? What would you say when your child asks you, 'Daddy, I see we are moving out of this house, but where are we going? Do we have another house?' What would you say to your son or to your wife when your wife tells you, 'Yes, you are leaving this job. You are saying the Lord has given you another job, but where are we going to eat?'" Let me tell you the language of faith here. You say, "God himself will provide." He's called Jehovah Jireh, God our provider. He's God who provides for all our needs according to his riches in glory. This is a God who does not consult your bank account to supply for your needs. This is a God who does not get a loan from the bank to supply for your needs. This is a God who doesn't look for all that, but he makes a way. Long story short, as they were going to sacrifice the boy, he reached there and he was ready to cut the boy into pieces. And he heard a voice from heaven. He heard a voice from heaven. And the voice was saying, "Abraham, Abraham, 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 do not lay a finger." He replied, "Yes, Lord." But the God said, "Do not lay a hand on the boy. Do not do anything to the boy. I know that you fear me. Why? Because you have not withheld from me your son." Which son? Your only son. the one you love. So Abraham looked, and there in the thicket he saw a lamb by the thorns. And he went over there and took the lamb and sacrificed it as a burnt offering instead of his son. Isn't God good? So Abraham called that place, "The Lord God provide." The Lord will provide. To this day, that place is called So. On the mountain of the Lord, it will be provided. May I say it? I pray that it will enter your soul and your mind right now. The Lord himself will provide. Will provide. Friends, this morning, when I read this text, I ask myself, how can I get this kind of faith? I ask myself, how will it look like when I get it? And I ask myself, what will be the benefit of all this pain? And today, join me as we answer this question. The good thing, we answer them from the Word of God. Let's go back to our text. What does the text say? What does the Bible say? The Bible says that sometime later, God tested Abraham. How do we get to have this kind of faith? By the way, by the show of hand, how many of you today would say, I want to have that faith? Yes. Okay. Almost. Put your hand again. 1, 2, 3. Almost all of us. Oh my goodness. All of us. This is how we get the faith. Number one, we get this kind of faith through the moments of testing. The times of trials. The times of suffering. I am not going to ask any of you that how many of you would love to suffer. I might not get one hand. I won't ask that how many of you would love to be tested. I may not get a hand, but I want to let you know whether it's today or tomorrow, I am sure the moments of testing will come. Actually, if I were you, I would grab a pen and write down what is being taught right now. Either you are in the times of his testing, or you have just got out of the testing. I'm telling you, life is full of so many testing moments. You remember when you went through the time of a cancer or a tumor? That was your testing in your health. When you go through a relationship testing and your marriage is almost falling apart, it is like it is going. It was going. Those were moments of the testing. Abraham is a man who is familiar with the testing. Some of the testings of God he passed. Others he failed. You remember when God told him in Genesis chapter 12 from verse 1, Abraham, get out of your home, your people, go to the country, I will show you. That is testing. That is by faith. Yesterday, I got to hear a real story of testing. Yesterday, I had this story, and I had this story from your own, one of you. Here she was. God is telling her, you're going to go and represent. You're going to go to a place that you don't know. You're going to go with people you don't know. You're going to do things you don't know. But God will be with you. And I will make you into a great bigger family. It won't be just American family, but also the Africans will come in your house. It will be bigger. By the way, this is the story I was sharing with Laura, one of you here. And she was sharing this story. And friends, she got here to go to Rwanda and she didn't know anyone. I'm sorry, I did not ask for permission to share this. But going to a country that you don't know anyone. You're going with the people you don't know. And it is a country where they had a genocide. Where people killed themselves. Where the Mzungu, where the Americans, where the English people, where the French people just left when the killings were happening. and then you go. But God has a plan. God has a plan. God knows why you go through what you go through. Abraham left his country and went to the country that he didn't know. But the Bible says that God would bless him. God would make him great. God would make his name great. Thank God he passed that test. But there were many more other tests. You remember Abraham had the most dreamy, beautiful wife. Beautiful wife, Sarah. And one day as he was going to a people, he was afraid that when they know that this beautiful wife is his, they'll kill him and take the wife. So he told his wife, you know what, when they ask you, you say you are my sister. Don't tell them the truth. Okay? And there, he failed the test. And many times we fail the tests and give up. Let me tell you, the people of faith, people who have faith in God, when they meet an obstacle, they don't give up. They stick on God. When they are tested and they fail, they don't give up. They stay with God. They trust in God. People of God, seated before me here today, will you put your trust in God? Will you have faith in God even when the going is tough? Trust God, because God will show up for you. Abraham went through another testing. You remember when his brother Lot had a lot of cattle and had headsmen and cattle keepers. And then Abraham also had so many slaves. And these slaves began to quarrel. And there was a conflict between them. And it was very hard. So Abraham was tested. There are relationship testings. In those relationship testings, how do you handle it? I don't know about you, but in Africa, there are always in-law conflicts. In-laws come your way and her mom wants it to be done like she wants. And your dad wants you to behave like he behaved when he was a boy long time ago in the state of Alaska, in the coldness, or maybe wherever he lived. Those relationship moments are very hard. It is in those moments when your faith is tested. It is in those moments when your relationship with God is tested. Are you going to quarrel or you're going to respond positively? If I'm speaking to you, it is not me, it is God speaking to you. If I'm stepping on your toes while saying this, I am not sorry. Actually, I'm not targeting your toes, I'm targeting your heart. Targeting your heart. I want your heart to be like the heart of Jesus. I want your heart to be like the heart of God. I want your heart to be like the heart of Abraham, a man against all hope, he hoped. A man against all, he hoped and believed in God. So there was this relationship testing. And when he was in this testing, do you know what happened? Abraham told Lord, Lord, you are my brother. We don't need to fight. We are related. By the way, did you know that we are all related? Okay, all of you. You are my brother from another mother. Yes, believe it or not, we are one. And if you are still doubting, just get a razor blade and cut yourself. Your blood will not be yellow. Your blood is not green, it's red. I may look black, I'm not black, I'm chocolate, okay? I am known, I'm serious. In some places, we go to places and it's dark. When it's dark, all you can see about me is only the white teeth. But let me tell you, we are all one. We all go through testings. We all go through relationships. Abraham went through that. So Abraham told Lord, Lord, you are my brother. Let's not quarrel. Choose which part of this land you want. If you want the north, I'll go to the left, to the south. If you want the left, I'll go to the right. And so they chose to part and he did not quarrel. He didn't fight over it. Guess what happened? Where Lord went, it became Sodom and Gomorrah. Fire, the pit of fire. He lost everything. Where Abraham went, the Bible says God blessed him. The man was so blessed. The Bible says he was so rich. The man was so wealthy. God blessed him. Did you know that our God is a God who blesses the people of faith? He blesses them, that even those who are around us, they begin to wonder, why? Why do we have what we have? It's because of faith. It's because of believing in God. You wonder why God blesses this country of America. This country is very generous. This country is very generous. Why God blesses this country? This country is built on pillars of faith. They are forefathers who believed in a God. They even said, in God we trust. God alone. In God we trust. Those are the pillars of faith that you guys are building on. But how about your children? Will your children still find that legacy? Will they hear that there is a God who does miracles in America? Friends, Abraham was tested, but he passed that test too. Abraham was also tested. This time it was too hard. God told him, Abraham, and he said, yes, sir. Wake up. And he woke up. Come on, I want you to go and give a sacrifice. Maybe he said, okay. And said, okay, you're going to sacrifice your son. Wait. My son or my neighbor's son? No, your son. And they said, you're going to sacrifice my son. Okay, maybe my son. All right. But your son, whom you love. Your son, your only son. And you're going to sacrifice Isaac. That was a testing moment. I don't know if you were you, what you would have done. I think I should have told God, God, wait. Is it you or only demons that I'm hearing right now? Let me tell you, the guy responded and he went and got his son and he took some witnesses with him. He took his servants. For me, I call them people who are going to witness. There are some people who come to witness when you are in a testing moment. There are some people whom God brings your way to see what you're going through, and they will testify when you go through the tunnel. They will testify when you go through the fire. They will testify that I know that man. I know that man. That man was among the lions, the den of lions. But the lions never feasted on him. The lions feared him because the Lion of Judah was in him. Because of the Lion of Judah was roaring in him, they could not eat him. Did you know the Lion of Judah lives in you? Did you know that Jesus Christ of Nazareth, Jesus Christ, the Son of the Living God, He lives in you, He loves you, He lives with you, and He helps you in the moments of testing. Friends, how? How do we get faith? Number two, this is how we get faith. Verse 2, and God said, take your son. Okay? It's God who said. The way we get more faith is when we hear God speaking. When God speaks to you, faith comes by hearing, and by hearing God's word. Faith comes through scripture. I believe that God speaks. God speaks in dreams. God speaks in visions. God speaks in circumstances. God is speaking right now. Friends, I never came this far just to entertain you. I came to be a mouthpiece of God. I came to say, God speaks. God speaks. And more so, God speaks through scriptures. If I were you, I would sign up for a study Bible. I would sign up for a cover to cover to finish my Bible. Because in the Bible, God speaks to us. So, do you want to get that kind of faith? Read your Bible. Read your Bible. Read your Bible. Do you want to hear God speak? Pray. Pray without ceasing. Do you want to hear God speak? Worship. Worship genuinely. Do you want to hear God speak? Surround yourself with men and women of faith. Surround yourself with men who will encourage you in your faith. God still speaks. But I also want to say, how do I know that God is speaking? How do I know that I have this kind of unshakable faith? By the way, the reason why I call it unshakable faith, it is because it is a different kind of faith. The man was willing to sacrifice his own son. That kind of faith, you don't find it in a market. That kind of faith, you don't find it anywhere. It is different. It's unshakable. It's unmovable. It's unstoppable. It's a real faith. But how do you know that you have this kind of faith? Number one, when you are willing to sacrifice the most important things in life, then you know that you have this faith. Willingness. Willingly, not reluctantly, but willingly, you are ready to give away what you value most. I know time. Time is very precious for many Americans. Everyone is saying time. Time. Actually, maybe you are saying time. We need to finish now. No way. I have one more hour to go. Are you ready for that? Are you ready? Come on. Hallelujah. Hallelujah! I'm excited because we serve a God who enables us to see what others don't see. Friends, if you want to know that you have this kind of faith, you should be willing to sacrifice. Sacrifice your time. Okay? You must be willing to sacrifice. To sacrifice, to give to your church some more time. Give your church. In a little while, the service is going to be done. And all these chairs need to be in a different place. And all these things. You give more time. All right? You sacrifice as you go to teach, as you go to as you are involved in your community. God is not calling us to spectate, but to participate. God is not calling us to watch things happen, but to be part of what is happening. God is not calling us to hear about faith, but He's calling us to be men and women of faith. He's calling us to be history makers, not history readers. There are so many people outside there who are reading history. That in the days of George Washington, in the days of Jimmy Carter, in the days of all these great presidents, this and this happened. But what would they say about you? Come on. What would they say about you? Let me tell you, you guys are blessed to live in this great country of America. You are blessed. When some Africans come to this country, do you know what happens? Three kinds of things happen. There are some who come, and when they get here, they say, you know what? This country is too big. Everything is too fast. When you go to a mall to buy, there are many types of things. Oh my goodness, these people are too rich. I can't afford. Let me go back to Africa. So they go back to Africa. And others, when they get there, they say, this is big. I cannot go back to Africa. I'm just going to stay here, live here, whether I'm legally or illegally, they want to stay. But also there are some other kind of people. And these are the kind of people I want to share with you some more. These are a people with a different kind of faith. These are a people with a different kind of spirit. And I want to say, I enlisted among these people. These are people who come to America. And when they get here, they say, you know what? Yes, they have big schools. Yes, they have great churches. Yes, they have great cars. Yes, they have a lot of money. But what can I do? What can I do about it? And you say, I am going back home. And when I go back home, I'm going to try and work hard. Actually, I'm going to call them to come and see. I'm going to call on them to come and be part of what I'm doing. And so you call them. Every year, African New Life Ministries receives almost 500 Americans. They come to feed kids. They come to teach in the Bible school. They come to dig wells. They come to do something, be involved. These are people who say, I'm going home, but I'm going home to make a difference. I'm going home, but I'm going home to change the history of my country. These are people who say, I won't sit in America and eat hot dogs when my people are starving. I'm not going to eat burgers and pizzas and relax when my people don't go to school. These are people who go back. I came to America in 2008 and went back 2011. And I'm telling you, great things are happening in Rwanda. My brother came to America in 2000 and he kept going back. Up to now, he comes back and forth 2-3 times a year. But great things are happening. We started with 29 kids. Today, African New Life Ministries sponsors over 9,600 children. Give God a clap. Hallelujah. We started out with only one church, but we have planted 7 more churches. 7 more churches. Pray for us. In the coming 2 years, we want to plant. We want to go to up to 20 churches. 20 churches. And actually, we are looking for partners. We are looking for people who come alongside us because together we can do exploits. I'm telling you, we are not different for nothing. We are different to complement one another. Not to compete with one another, but to complement one another. And friends, I believe God is going to do great things. We started with 1 school, now 7 schools. Yes, it is just the beginning because the best is yet to come. Because the best is just coming. But all that never happens for the sake of happening. There has to be some men who are willing to sacrifice. How does those people look like? Those people of faith, they are people who move forward in spite of all their fears. They move forward even when they are afraid of tomorrow. How do you know that he's a man of faith? He moves forward in spite of the fears. Some people say that faith is the absence of fear. But I say no. I want to say faith is the courage to move forward even when you are afraid. To move forward even when everyone is saying, you know what? We cannot do it. We are just grasshoppers before them. They are great. They'll finish us. They'll destroy us. But you stand up and in faith and say, no. Our God will go for us. He will fight for us. He will give us victory. Those are the people of faith. The people of faith are people who move forward even when they don't have facts. They move forward. God told Abraham, go to the mountain. I will show you. Did he know where he was going? No. He just knew there is a mountain over there. When I was here in America, in Portland, Oregon, in 2008, I got an opportunity of preaching in different places, and I had my little car, very little and very old. Sometimes I was afraid that it's going to die on the way, but I had a GPS in my car, and my wife always wanted to know where we are going. She wanted to know, when are we getting there? She wanted to know, is there a petrol station on the way? She wanted to know, in how many miles are we going to turn left or right? She wanted to know, is there any mall? Is there any supermarket? Any place we can buy things on the way? But early in my life, I had learned to live by faith. And so I got this GPS. I would put in my beginning place and the destination. And all I did is to keep going. It tells me turn left, I turn left. Turn right, I turn right. And all I had to do, by the way, listen, people of faith are people who listen to the voice of God. They listen. All I had to do is to listen to my GPS. I listened. I kept following the GPS. I know there are moments when I would be distracted. Oh, the phone is ringing. Oh, she's telling me something. When I'm distracted, I would miss my turning points. And the GPS would say, recalculate. Recalculate. Turn around. Let me tell you, in your life, there are moments when God has said, recalculate. Turn around. And God has said, no, wait. Turn around. And we normally don't want to turn around. We don't want to wait. We want to keep going. By the way, this is the country where people don't want to be patient. People don't want to wait. Did you hear of an American who went to God and said, God, please, God, give me patience. And give it to me right now. Right now, I want patience. Patience does not come right now. You have to wait. That is what faith does. Faith calls you to listen and wait. So my GPS will tell me, keep going, turn left, turn right, turn left. Now you have arrived at your destination on the left. And you just keep following. So friends, faith keeps going even when you don't know when you reach there. Yes, that's what we did. Even coming to church today, we came by faith. Yes, we came by GPS. And it was just telling us, keep going, keep going. And when you have your GPS, if you get lost on the way, all you do is to stop and call those people who are at the destination. And they'll talk to you some more. And you get to know how you get there. And you know how deep? If you're on the journey and it's hard and it's like you're lost, you have to stop and talk to your God. You stop and pray. This is brand new. This idea is brand new. Stop and pray. Pause and pray. People are too busy to pray. No wonder life is hard. People don't want to pray. You think you have everything? Let me tell you. Things have got wings. They fly today to you, and tomorrow they fly away. I'm telling you, money has got wings. God made money. God made man. Man made money. And money made man mad. Man is looking for money. But money is flying. Today is to you. And tomorrow will come to me. So you better stick to God and know that He's the author of everything. He's the author of life. He's the author of hope. He's the God who began a good work and He'll bring it to accomplishment. Will you give God some praise? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And I want to end by answering this question. What are the rewards of faith? What is the paycheck I get when I put my trust in God? By the way, on your way to faith, there are many obstacles. Very many obstacles. Obstacle number one is unbelief. Okay? Unbelief. You remember when God told his disciples, have faith in me. If you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you speak the mountains and the mountains will obey. You remember what he said? He said, when you go to pray, when you begin to trust God for something, please have faith, believe. This is brand new. This I never shared with the first service, second service. You need to have put your trust in God. This is the antidote to unbelief. Please, please have faith. You know something else that blocks your faith? Is unforgiveness. when you don't forgive. The Bible says when you go to God, forgive everyone. Forgive your brother who has sinned against you. Unforgiveness blocks your faith. Unforgiveness blocks your movement. By the way, when you don't forgive, you are imprisoning yourself. You are in chain. Not forgiving, it is like drinking poison, thinking you are killing your enemy, but you are killing yourself. I'm telling you this from experience. I come from a country where a brother killed another, a teacher killed his people, a pastor killed his flock, and people were jealous and hating one another. But one day, they had to forgive one another. Forgiveness is not human. It is divine. It is divine. It is divine from the Lord. And when you forgive, God gives you faith to move on. Anyhow, that was a bonus. That was a bonus for you. Bonus for only you people. You will tell them about this. All right. But what are the rewards of faith? This is what faith does. Faith, okay? Faith takes you, causes you to see God in a new way, in a fresh way. The Bible says, God called out on Abraham. God sent his angel from America, from where? From heaven, not America. His angel from heaven, not India, not from Japan. God sent his angel from heaven. I pray that God will send his angels in this church when you gather for service. I pray that God will be present when you begin to worship. If you decide to become men and women of faith, God will send his angels to surround you, to speak to you, to change you, to bless you, to move you, to cause you to shine. Church, listen. Will you decide to be a people of faith? People who believe in God. When you do so, you'll be fresh. You have a new look, a new way God does things. Friends, when you become a man and woman of faith, you will model faith for your children. You model faith for your generation. Thanks be to God. There is a man called Abraham. Abraham modeled faith for us. Today, we pray that God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. What was that? It was modeling faith. Modeling faith for our children. What will our children say about our faith? What will our children say about our faith? What do you do? What are the rewards? The rewards of faith are the hidden blessings of God. The hidden blessings of God. God says, if you pass the test, God says, if you move by faith, God says, if you stop spectating and participate, God says, if you begin to share your time and share your life, God says, I'll bless you. I'll bless you. I'll bless you and I'll bless your descendants. Your children will lack nothing because I'll go before you. Those are the blessings of faith. What else? The blessings of faith is that you get to see the promises of God. God has promised to be with you. God has promised to heal you. God has promised to go before you. But unless you have faith, you won't be able to see the promises coming to pass. Faith is like a check that you don't have to cash today, but you have to cash it on that day. Faith is like that check. You know, some people in America, in Africa, you give them a check and they say, you give me a paper, I want money. They don't know that it is money. Faith is like a check. You cash it by faith and trust that this paper is going to turn into money. You cash it, yes. Today, I pray that the promises of God over this church will come to pass. I pray that the promises of God over your life will come to pass. And by the way, the Bible says, no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes and amen to those who believe. They are yes and amen. Let me tell you, church, it is not enough just to sit and warm the benches or the chairs. No way. It is not enough for you just to sit here. But God has called you to take up more territory for Him. Take up more schools. Imagine in 10 years to come, if you had more 7 schools that are used on Monday, on Tuesday up Friday, but from Saturday to Sunday, there is people who are worshiping God in that church. I mean, in that building. Imagine if you became a church that is going to send missionaries to all the 54 countries of Africa. Imagine if you're going to be a people who are going to plant a church in every state of America. Imagine, the Bible says, it is possible to those who believe. With that said, may I request all of us to stand. Come on, stand. Yeah, I know Pastor Kim, Pastor Kevin does not ask you a lot to stand, but I'm going to ask you to stand. I'm here today until this evening. I'm going back. All right. Okay. All right. Yes. I want to ask us to stand, but I also want us to think about faith and what faith can do. Okay. Are you thinking? Good. Can I ask you one more thing? I'm going to ask you, just stretch your hands like this for me. Yes, like this. All right. Thank you. Good. You are amazing. I need to squeeze it like this, okay? Like this, squeeze. Do you feel how the fingers are paining you? Yes. Yeah. Release it. Slowly, let it go. You know what you're doing? You're surrendering. You're surrendering. People of faith, surrender to God. You surrender to God. Surrender your life to God. Surrender your life to God. The text I've just read, it is not just about Abraham, but this text is about our Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says Jesus Christ would come and become a living sacrifice for all of us. Squeeze again. Surrender. Surrender. Slowly, slowly, surrender. Surrender. Now I'm going to ask you once more to stretch your hands to the heavens with me. Yes. And let us pray together. Father, we surrender our hands to you. Surrender our lives to you. Surrender this church to you. Surrender our marriages to you. Surrender our children to you. God, in faith we pray that you take over. In faith we pray that you move us to the direction of your will. In faith, we pray that God, you do great things for this church and for these people. I pray that God, you heal the sick. I pray that cancer will go in the name of Jesus. Father, I pray that those who are praying for a spouse, those who are praying for a child, Lord, we surrender this request to you. Please do a miracle. Do a miracle. We thank you, Lord. We give you praise. We give you praise for you've done it. In the name of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And all the people said, amen. May I hear an amen? All the people said, amen. May I hear an amen? All the people said, amen. Hallelujah. Amen. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you.